It is so very good to be here this morning. It is good not because it is a pretty day. It is good because we are with God's people. It is good because we're with God. We're having the opportunity, and that's not even the best word, the blessing of being able to come before His throne and to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, and because He is worthy. Now we have a blessed opportunity to open up the words that He has given to us in His Bible and see what He has to say about what He wants our lives to be. How we can become more like Him, become more like Jesus Christ in our daily lives. And I hope that we take this time seriously and give ourselves to it wholly. We've been having this week, the Rise Up weekend, the last couple of days at the retreat, and we continue that today. As I mentioned to the class, you know, when we chose the Rise Up statement because it is really the bookends of our Christian life. We rise up from that watery grave of baptism to walk a new life. And in the end, we will rise up to meet Jesus in the air to go home to be with Him forever. I hope and pray that this morning that is your goal. That every moment and every second of your day is lived for that moment, for that time, waiting, longing. As Peter said, hasten the day. John said, Lord, come quickly, wanting to go home and be with the one we love. We have been blessed this weekend at the retreat. Those that attended, I know I was blessed. I speak for myself that I was very blessed for the time that we got to spend, not only studying together, the time we got to spend in prayer. We had, well, I'm going to save some of that for tonight because tonight is about some things we learned at the retreat. So I'll move on to my lesson. But it is good to be here. This morning's lesson is about the character of one who rises up. What kind of person does it take to rise up? To stand up in the Christian life, to rise up and to do the things that are hard. To do the things that are necessary. To do the things that it takes to be the faithful children of God. To become more like the Lord that we seek to emulate every day. What kind of person does it take? You know, there are people who rise above and there are people in this world who simply quit. There are people who rise above and people that just ride along. And we admire the people that rise above and oftentimes we pity those that do not. There was a man, there was three young men standing on a corner and they were poor young men. They were men engaged in the life of drugs. And they looked across the street and there was a group of limousines at the local school. And they pulled up and a man got out of those limousines and he walked into that school. And they were like, well, who is that guy? It was General Colin Powell, who had come from their very same neighborhood but had risen up to be more. Who had given his life and worked hard to be more. And they stood there on that street corner and they denigrated him. And why couldn't they have the things he had? Because they wouldn't try. So many people will not know the blessings of God. So many people will not have salvation because they will not try. And they will stand on corners and they will make fun of those who do. But we must rise up. I want to think about three ways or three aspects of a character's or three characters, traits that a person has that will rise up. The first trait is this. It will be one who trusts God completely when they face the giants in their lives. Every one of us in this life are going to have to face giants. Times in our life that are scary. Times in our life that are difficult. But the difference between those that rise up and those that lay down in those times will be whether they trust God completely. We see in David, in King David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, just a young boy going out there and going to the camp of the Israelites. And while he is there, that 9-foot man steps out onto the battlefield and he calls out to the Israelites and he challenges them. Come on out here, somebody. Come out here and fight me. And the Israelites, including King Saul, cowered and hid at the man's call. And David, just a young boy, just making a delivery to his brothers, hears this call, and he is not afraid. He is not shivering. He is not hiding. He is not scared. He is mad. How dare that uncircumcised Philistine talk like that to the army of God? His attitude was completely different. It was an attitude of trust in God. It was an attitude of dedication to God. And he was incensed that the people that would call themselves the people of God were not rising up to stop that man from talking like he was about it. How many times had the Israelite army been given the victory by God? How many times had God given them the victory even in the face of overwhelming odds? These men would have known about the day that Joshua was fighting the battle and God made the sun stand still. The day that God rained boulders down upon an army that was trying to retreat. How that Moses held his staff up, and as long as his staff was held up, they were winning the battle. And as it came down, but God was controlling the battle and who was winning and who was losing. They had seen so many examples of God's power in battle, and yet they cowered and hid from one man. But not David. David believed in what was not written yet in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 that he could do all with God. That he could accomplish anything with God. That there was nothing that was too big or too strong or too powerful to overcome God. So he was willing to go out there and fight. Mark chapter 11 verses 22 through 24, it says, Jesus answered them saying, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen. I'm sorry, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. We talked about this on Thursday night at the retreat. You hear what Jesus says there? He doesn't say, you know, believe that God will do it. He says, when you ask, believe that he already has. That doesn't leave any room for doubt, does it? I'm asking, but God's already answered it. God's already provided for it. Why? Because God already knows it. What faith that is. See, David didn't go, I hope that God will give me the victory. Maybe God will give me the victory. He says, God will give me the victory. I will take on this Philistine. And I will overcome. But when we go out there and we rise up, we do not need to go out there and try to do so with the wisdom of men. Remember, there were some wise men there that wanted to help David, right? But it wasn't with encouragement about faith in God. It was, here, put on this armor. You need the implements of men to overcome this. You need some armor, David. Of course, that just didn't quite work for David, did it? I mean, we say he was a young man. He's also not a very big man. Armor hung off of him. Of course, also Saul was a formidable specimen himself, standing head and shoulders above everyone else. But here's a young man that they put his armor on, and he couldn't fight in that. He didn't need the implements and the wisdom of men. He was going to overcome, not with armor. He was going to overcome with faith. You know, we also need to believe that you can overcome your problem with God. When you face your giants, whatever they may be, and you know, our giants sometimes seem bigger than 9 foot maybe sometimes, but it really doesn't matter. They're not taller, they're not bigger, and they're not tougher than God. We need to believe that God will give us the strength and the courage to walk up, to defy the largest problems in our lives and overcome. I'm not saying that God, and God never promises on any page of the Bible that you won't have problems, but I can promise you this, He will give you the strength to endure and to overcome. That's what I want. And I would pray that each and every one of us seek that too and have that kind of faith in God to help us. When problems come in our life, what is the first thing we do? Is it ask a friend? Is it talk to somebody that we trust or someone that we need or, you know, that we think we need? Or is the first thing we do when problems hit us in this life, is the first thing we do drop to our knees and pray to the God that can help us overcome? Because He's really the one that has the answers at the end of the day. Another aspect of one who rises up is that they are one who accepts God's decisions no matter the consequences. You know, we can look to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 and verses 15 through 18. They also faced a giant. Now, it wasn't a giant man. It was a giant image, wasn't it? An image over 90 feet tall, depending on which cubit that we think they may have been using there as they described the image. But it's over 90 feet tall. Would have, if it survived, or if we had some means of knowing what it looked like today, probably would have been considered an ancient wonder of the world. Because the Colossus at Rhodes was an ancient wonder of the world, and yet this image far exceeded the size of the Colossus at Rome, or at Rhodes. And so here it is. This is the image that they have to fight, the giant that they have to fight. And the king says, when they play all the music, I want you to bow down to this image and worship it. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They do not. And so somebody comes up and says, King, O King, live forever. But somebody didn't obey your decree. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, who knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had been ruling over the city of Babylon since chapter 1. They came in and he said, I want to give you another chance. You know, maybe you didn't hear, maybe you didn't get the word, maybe you didn't get the memo, whatever it might have been. I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play the music again. I'm giving you your own personal chance to bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, beginning with verse 15, we see the king says, now if you're ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there? Oh, here's the question. They're going to answer it, aren't they? What God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Because see, King Nebuchadnezzar had already been shown the God that could deliver them, right? And he already should have known that these three young men were not going to turn on their God. Chapter 1, they would not eat his meat. They would not eat at his table. These men had already shown their conviction. Hey, King, you don't need an answer from us. You know we're not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. Daniel has already given the interpretation of the vision of the great image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. You know how we are about our God. We don't even need to really give you an answer here. Surely you already know it. But they go on to say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Not only will He deliver us from the fire, but you can't even do anything to us. You just didn't say that kind of stuff to a king. You can't burn us. You can't do anything to us, King, if God doesn't let you. Why? Because He's in control. But while they had that faith, they also understood that God knew better than they did. They understood that God had plans that they didn't know about. They understood that God might be looking for something else. And they were willing to give to God the right to do what He saw was best, whatever that might be. They continued on and said, but even if He does not, right? Like Chris sang last week, and I love the song, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, basically this is what they say here, but even if He does not, it's well with our souls. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. You ever wonder why he heated that furnace up 7 times hotter? He was not happy. He'll deliver us from you, and even not, we still don't care what you say. We're going to do what he says. And trust him to do what is best. That one last chance was gone. Nebuchadnezzar tried to destroy them, but just as they said, that he was not able to. The flames of a furnace nor the power of a king held nothing to the power of God. You know, sometimes I think we pray and we've already decided that we know what God should do. Right? God, I'm praying to you. This is what I want. I've already decided what needs to be done, God. You just need to do it. And sometimes we forget the thy will be done, right? That God, ultimately, I trust your will. I trust your wisdom. I trust the fact that you see all things from the beginning of time to the end of time. You've seen my entire life before there was even one word written of my life in the book. We don't trust Him. Trust our own wisdom sometimes. And so when God doesn't do it just like we want, we're upset. When we don't get it done just like we think God should have done it, we get upset, and yet we don't see the bigger picture sometimes that God does. What He may know about our lives that we don't know. And what He knows is going to come, and what we may need in this life sometimes is some difficulty. Maybe the removal of that difficulty would not be the best thing for us. May we not question God, but may we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we say God can deliver us from this, God can give us this, or He may not. But either way, I'm going to trust Him. Either way, I'm going to serve Him. Either way, it is well with my soul because it is God's. God's will be done. And that is always best. Last of all, the character of one who rises up is one who has a deep and abiding relationship with God. You know, the great Bible characters had deep and abiding relationships with God. David. As flawed a person as David was, David had a deep and abiding relationship with God. He was, as the Bible describes him, a man after God's own heart. And you read the Psalms and especially, you know, the Psalms that David wrote, you hear him talk about his deep and abiding relationship with God. It was that one thing that when David did give in to his many flaws, always brought him back to God. As bad as some of the things that David did, I mean, and the worst certainly being the adultery with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah, read Psalm 51 and you will hear a deep and abiding relationship of a man with his God, looking to come back home, seeking forgiveness, confessing his wrongs. You hear his pain as he says, my sin was ever before me. Never could get it out from in front of my face because I knew I was hurting you, Lord. I need you to create in me a clean heart so that I'll do those things that are right in your eyes. You know, we think about Daniel and his three friends. They certainly had a deep and abiding relationship with God. Even when we go to Daniel and he's very old in Daniel chapter 6, you know, sometimes we get those pictures of that young boy in the lion's den. But Daniel was actually probably nearly in his 80s probably, and maybe even older by the time he lands in the lion's den. And he was praying three times a day. Why? Because he needed to talk to the one that he had a close relationship with. We want to talk to our friends, those that we have, those best friends that we have in this life. We want to call and we want to talk to them. We want to hear from them in some way. We email them, we talk to them, we visit them because we want to be around them. And let me tell you, if you have a deep and abiding relationship with God, you want to pray to Him because you want to talk to your friend. You want to talk to the one you're so close to. There are men that had relationships, deep and abiding relationships with God that just defy the imagination. Abraham, Moses. You know, they're so unique in the fact that God had conversations with them so many times. God was spending time with them, long periods of time with them. You know, men have, other prophets had visions or were told by God at times what to say or inspired in some way. But Moses and Abraham literally, you know, Abraham literally sat down and had a meal with God, didn't he? Such a close and deep relationship, and we wonder why those men are considered such great men of God. Paul had a deep relationship with our Lord and God. He longed to go home. He longed to be with Him. He said, that's better. But he also had the same attitude as God, that he wanted to seek and to save the lost. He said, so I'll stay so that you can go home too. Certainly, there is no greater example of one who had a deep and abiding relationship with God upon this earth than Jesus Christ. We talked about this weekend in our prayer, in the time that we're talking about prayer, how much Jesus needed to pray. Friends, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed prayer, how in the world can we ever even begin to think we don't? He needed time. In fact, at times, entire nights, the night before He would appoint His disciples, He spent the entire night in prayer. Jesus needed to be off alone to pray. He needed that relationship with His Father. Folks, we're children of God and we need it too. We'll never be what we need to be till we have that kind of relationship. God desires that kind of relationship with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful through whom you are called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You were called to fellowship. God's asking you to come and have a relationship with Him, to be in fellowship with Him. What if you called somebody and said, I would love to have a relationship with you, and they ignore you? They don't ever call back. They don't ever talk back or talk to you again. Folks, we draw strength from our relationships. We draw strength from our friends. We draw strength in the marriage relationship from our spouse. Relationships are important in our lives. And the most important relationship you'll ever have in your life is your relationship with your God. God said it is not good for man to be alone. I know. We go, yeah, well, haven't you seen some of the men? Yes. Let me tell you what, if He just stuck Eve down there first, He just said the same thing about her. Not good for her to be alone either. We need each other. That's why He gave us the church. We need relationships. That's why we're brothers and sisters. That's why God wants us to be brothers and sisters. We're not friends. We're not just friends. We're not just acquaintances. We are brothers and sisters in God's great family. We have a higher relationship than friends. And a much higher relationship than acquaintances. God wants a relationship with us, and we need a relationship with Him. Jesus Christ needed relationships when He lived upon this earth. He needed friends, didn't He? He had 12 of them that were very close to Him. He had others outside of that 12. People like Mary Magdalene. People like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know, He had a lot of friends. He had some very close friends. Not that He would, before He would die, He'd go to Gethsemane and He'd ask three of His friends to sit with Him. He needed their encouragement. He needed them to be there for Him. And they failed. God wants to have you in a relationship. May we not fall asleep on Him. May we not fail Him. But give Him the relationship that we need and He desires. Are we a friend to the perfect one? Are we a friend to Him? Do we have a relationship with God? You know, sometimes people say, church is just church. You know, I'm coming to just do what I have to do, you know, because the Bible tells me I have to. It has nothing to do with literally loving and caring for the God who gave you the opportunity. But the people that make a difference in the Lord's church, the people that make a difference in this world spiritually, are the people who come here because they love and they want to be with their God. That is the difference. It is an internal thing. This relationship, its depth and love, will determine the drive we have in our lives to get home. When I went to camp, now I have to be honest. When I went to camp, I kind of had so much fun that I was just running wild all week. I guess I need to use my sister. My sister, she went to camp, had to call my mother three times a day and couldn't basically wait from Sunday to get back home next Saturday. You know, she wanted home with mother because she was close to mother. And I was close to my mother too. And don't get me wrong, I wanted to see my mother. I just got caught up. I was wild. May we never get caught up in this life and forget where we're going. Forget who's looking for us and waiting for us at home. May we long every day to be with Him. This weekend, we talked about this relationship cannot survive without prayer. And it cannot survive without knowing who it is. How many friends do you have that you say, you know, it's not the Jeannie Robertson comedian lady, she lives here in North Carolina, I think. But she said, you know, in the South, everybody's your best friend. She said, you know, you'll come up to somebody in the market and go to, and say, oh, meet her. This is Mary. She's just my best friend. What's your last name, sweetie? Right. How many best friends do you have that you don't know? You know, that you're having to say, what's your last name? You know them. But you can't have a relationship with God if you don't know Him. How many marriages? You talk to people struggling in their marriages and they say, we just don't talk anymore. How many relationships can you have that you don't talk to the other person? We need to pray to God and talk to Him. We need to learn more about Him and know Him so that we can truly have a deep and abiding relationship. You have an opportunity in this life to trust the God that can help you overcome. You have the opportunity in that life to trust a God whose decisions, no matter whether they match it with what you think or not, will always be what is right, what is good, and what is best for your life. Why? Because He's your Father and He loves you and He cares. And He's only going to do good things for you. Also, you have the opportunity to seek a deep and abiding relationship with God this morning. It is our hope, it is our prayer that you will do that. You can do that this morning. If you have not begun that relationship by obeying the gospel, you can begin today by believing in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, choosing to live as God would have you to live, not the way that you have lived in the past, but to go God's way. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be buried in baptism to rise up, to walk a new life, a life that depends on God, a life that gives itself to a relationship with God, a life that will overcome whatever this life throws at it, because it is based in trust in a God that is all-powerful. Mary said, how can I have a baby when I am but a virgin? Gabriel said, nothing is impossible with God. Come to the God for which there is nothing impossible for. See, this morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you haven't had that kind of trust, maybe you haven't had that kind of relationship, begin today. Go to God in prayer. Talk to Him. Seek His wisdom. Seek a relationship. Get into His Word and get to know Him. Come to Him. If there's any way that we can help you today in your spiritual walk to get closer to God, to have more faith in God, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you will let us do so at this time as we stand and as we sing.